I'm Zach.
And I'm Josh.
And this is Lamp Stomp, a Pixar podcast. All right, guys, this is Zach back with Lamp Stomp. I'm so excited for another episode today. I'm really excited for the conversation we're going to have today. I'm talking to one of my, one, two, three. I think this is the third groomsman of my wedding that I've talked to on one of these interview podcasts. Dane, I'm talking to Dane today. What's up, Dane?
What's up? Glad to be here.
I'm so excited to talk to you. I kind of mentioned at the end of the last episode that you definitely have some Pixar opinions. And so I'm really excited to kind of dig into those Pixar opinions with you. And so I did give a fair warning to Josh some too, that you sometimes text me just random, your thoughts about Josh's thoughts. And so we'll be nice to him, but we can dig into some of those thoughts as well. But before we get started with all of that, I'd like to ask you, what is your Pixar origin story? How did you start watching these movies and how has that evolved over time?
Yeah, so I think the first movie that I was really into was Tarzan. I had like a Tarzan third birthday party. And then kind of growing up, I'd watch all of them, but I either loved them or didn't really care about them at all. Cars, Monsters, Inc. were big ones. My little brother was really, really, really into Disney, but we grew up going on Disney cruises. We went to on three Disney cruises, I think. We went to Disney World once. And then when I was in high school, my cross-country team actually ran a cross-country meet at Wild World of Sports, which is really cool. And then we just got like 2 days in the park, which was awesome. And then for a while there, late high school, college, didn't really pay that close of attention to Disney movies. I think I watched Monsters University because I was interested in it. And then Coco, I watched in college and it was just like super random. And it was just like, I think you talked about it in the podcast. It's not just like one of my favorite, favorite Disney Pixar movie. It's one of my favorite movies in general. Right. Like other than like Good Will Hunting and Shawshank Redemption, it's probably in my top 10, like the Dark Knight movies, but like, it's definitely in my top 10, 15 movies, just so good. But yeah, so I either love a Disney movie or I just like Good Dinosaur, Brave, Cars 2. I'm just like shrug my shoulders.
Right. So there's definitely highs and lows to what Pixar has. But I think a lot of them, every movie has something to give. And so I definitely can appreciate every movie for what it has to give. But you were correct. Tonight we are going to be talking about Coco. You said you kind of randomly watched it in college and it kind of struck you. And it's kind of made the list of some of your top favorite movies. And it definitely has for me. I would say it's my favorite movie. But I kind of have a weird relationship with movies to where I don't really like intense movies. I don't really like super action-y movies. I'm kind of a weird movie watcher in general, but regardless of all that, Coco definitely, it makes its mark, to use a phrase we use a lot. And it kind of sticks with you. I think that's something that, is really cool. And I don't think we actually timed this, but I don't know if you kind of knew the significance of kind of when we're doing this.
Halloween.
Yeah. It's right around Halloween. I can never say it, so I don't want to butcher the Dia de los Muertos. I don't really know how to say it, but that was actually the last few days. It's the last few days after Halloween as well. And so it's kind of weird that we're recording these and putting these out right about the time. It's kind of interesting how it worked that way. And so Coco is just a really cool movie about a boy that has a passion and also has a family that cares about him and how that kind of comes together. So why does this movie, why does Coco resonate with you? Why do you think it was something that struck you and why does it stick with you?
Well, I think like at the basis of it, one, Miguel's a very lovable, connectable character for me. I think there's plenty of similarities with any 8-9-year-old kid and that kid, which I think is a huge part of it. Secondly, is everyone has a family. Yeah. So I think it should resonate with anybody. And so I think that's a big deal with it too. I mean, it's just like the twist at the end, the ending, I mean, and we'll already get on Josh, like a 9 for the ending is just so disrespectful. The ending from like getting out of the water pit where the Hallebreges come in, they take him out, and it's like Hector and Emil to see each other, and you're like that tug of war there, and then all the way until like when he's like, I me familia.
Yeah, that song's a banger, man.
Oh yeah. So from that whole, I mean, that's like 25 minutes too.
It is.
It's just like so precise. It answers your questions. It does exactly what you needed to do. It's really, really good. And so I'd say the ending and the twist, I was thinking about it earlier when I was watching it, like the twist isn't so like on the nose because you're so focused on Miguel's like getting to De La Cruz and so as soon as you actually meet De La Cruz, you're like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like they're playing polo.
Did you sniff it out at all?
Nope. No.
No, not at all. Not at all for me either.
But I would say, I mean, that would be why it resonates with me, is like the twist is, I mean, for a kid's movie, yeah. if they call them that.
Yeah.
It's very, very good. Just answers your questions. The characters are so believable. I like how Imelda is like the main antagonist. So she's like the root of the family, like where all of it starts. And she's who they use to like drive the plot through. So like the mean grandma she is very easy to dislike. Like all, like the whole family in the world of the living, all of their feelings are like vesseled through Imelda, yeah. In the land of the dead. Hector's extremely likable. The scene where it's like, I would go to the ends of the earth for you, amigo. Clink. Yeah. Like that's really good. Like the flashbacks are so good.
Yeah.
Like the first time you hear Hector sing Remember Me to Coco, and then you see like the juxtaposition of Miguel doing that too. That's super, super good. It's like seems like so much of it was on purpose. It was like nothing was just like, oh, we have to end the movie, let's wrap it up. It was just like all like it flows so well.
Yeah.
But I would say my biggest problem with it in general is, I don't know. So you said like you grade general attraction.
Yeah.
That was my big problem with it, is like when I never even thought it, like, yeah, it was a Pixar movie, but I don't remember the previews, like even bringing you into the movie theater at all. So I probably watched it 2 years after it came out.
Yeah. It's kind of funny how, Pixar had just been doing, their last few movies were, sequels, because you had Cars 3 and you had Dory, and so that was the last two that had came out, and so to have this movie, I think people were somewhat excited that it was going to be an original movie, but there wasn't a whole lot of hype behind it. You're kind of right. There was just not a lot necessarily going for it in general attraction, but man, what they pull off. And honestly, what could you show in the previews that could have got you there? I wonder how much more they could have shown without giving anything up to kind of get you in the theater.
Well, the thing is it's like, it's a relatively middling plot about a family in Mexico. There's no talking cars. There's no, there's no secret agent cars either. Thank goodness.
All right.
But I mean, there's not a selling point, right? It's just human emotion, which is something they hadn't really done since Brave.
Brave, yeah.
Ratatouille, like, but he
Inside Out.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's a good example. which I'm actually not as high on as other people are.
Wow, interesting.
I think it was just like, it's just human. It's an existential crisis, just like Inside Out. So it's funny that those are one too. I guess that might be why it does resonate so well with people, is it's human emotion. And it's like everyone, other people's problems are always, they draw people in, I think is probably how you answer that question. Bring all that back to right. Saying why does it resonate? It's human emotion. It's people, and it's very believable people.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So who are some of your favorite characters from Coco? Who stands out above the rest?
Miguel is obviously like, yeah. I mean, he is like, I understand very, very well Miguel's thought process, like the passion. I would say Hector. Imelda is, like I said, just such a good antagonist.
Yeah.
Who voted De La Cruz as their favorite character? Or they said it was like their least favorite character.
I think Josh said that just because
he's a great villain.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
I mean, like up there with like Lotso and the robot from Wall-E. I mean, just like pretty cold-hearted killers that would do whatever it takes. Like, yeah, I would say Imelda is probably the best one. I also, yeah, I would say Imelda is probably the best one because she's very believable. Both of the times, one thing that I don't know if you guys probably just didn't have time to talk about it at length. Both times that Imelda sings La Llorona is like big moments, like in that alleyway.
Yeah,
you like get a vision into like more of that, and that's like a big break. And that's like right after you see, that's after Poco Loco, but before that, Hector has the scene. Everyone knows Juanita.
Yeah, that's a really impactful scene as well.
And then the last La Llorona is really powerful too, because it's like that like makes Hector and Imelda like it patches.
Reconnect, yeah.
And then she hears Ernesto De La Cruz talk about it, that he actually did it, so it makes everything believable.
Right.
So I'd say Imelda is probably like the best character because you see an arc started from like the beginning scenes on those tapestries. You get like that full circle growth, which I think is really interesting. I actually, when I was watching it, I was like, I can't believe this is a plot hole that Josh didn't talk about. He was like, well, how come Hector never talked to Imelda in the Land of the Dead? But she actually says something that's like, I've turned you away so many times. So it seems like they just
maybe he has tried.
Yeah. So I was thinking about that today because I'm like, I'm putting my Josh hat on and being like a super skeptic, which I'm like pretty critical myself. So so I'd say Imelda's probably my favorite character.
Awesome.
I'm not as high on Dante as you guys. But it is cool. The times I've been to Mexico, there are a lot of street dogs. So that's like, that was pretty cool.
Awesome. All right. So we talked about some pretty great moments from this movie. What would you say is your top favorite movie? And if you can't iron it down to one, you can tell two or three.
My top favorite movie?
No. Moment from this movie.
Oh, so let's break it like favorite song, favorite moment.
Sure. Do whatever you got to do.
Yeah. So I think like I'm not going to say like Miguel at the end singing Remember Me to Coco because that's kind of a cop-out, but I think Poco Loco and Juanita are like, I like both of those scenes a lot because you like don't really like, other than the time where Miguel's like with the TV like strumming his guitar like this, it's the first time you get to see him perform, so you're like, well, yeah, this kid should love music, he's great at it. And then Juanita like answers your question of like of the conflict, like why is there this conflict. So I'd say that seems like really cool. I really like the animation of the guy in the hammock with all the trash.
Right.
Who I, when you guys do the Ratzenberger quiz, I was like, I bet that guy's Ratzenberger. Like, but my favorite scene, I would say, I really like there's one point where Miguel's like, you're ruining my life. You already had yours. Like that's really powerful. And then, this is what it is. This also tops on favorite character. So there's a moment at the last scene, which is obviously the best scene, but my favorite part of my favorite scene is Miguel's dad like reaches onto the abuelita's shoulder. And it's like, good on that dude. That's a good dad. He's like, hey, let
him have it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think that's pretty cool. Like just absolving the conflict in favor of his son. And earlier, and you see his dad, when the grandma smashes the guitar, you see the dad like
he's a little apprehensive about it. Yeah,
I'm really with that guy. So I like that guy a lot. Like, those are both really important moments, I think. But I mean, obviously the best scene is like getting home to like, I me for me, oh yeah, man. Let it be known.
There are times I can listen to that in my car and start tearing up. It's just the thought of just how good that movie ends with that song and all the family coming together and just singing and enjoying music, enjoying each other, enjoying the street dogs, enjoying like every, like, it's just, ugh. So
it
is, good.
I would say like, there's no, like, there's a piece that comes with like, oh dude, another thing. Coco's hand animated in the end. You know how old people kind of have like the blotches and they do a really good job where it's like you see your finger like start to tap.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, they did like that is way, way good.
Yeah, that is something good. Yeah. All right. So you've kind of answered it throughout. But maybe in just a few sentences, why does this movie matter? Why is this movie going to be something that stands the test of time? Why is this a movie that you will want to tell people about because of its importance? Why does this movie matter?
I think it's a good way to, I mean, it's a good lesson on how to treat people, especially your family. Like, whatever you believe, like, there's probably a vessel for loving someone better than, like, not letting someone do what they love within reason. I think it's a good way to treat family. It's a good lesson through the lens of, like, I think Miguel's the narrator at the beginning, through the lens of a kid, like how they take something where you might not think something's as serious. I don't know if I have one sentence for it, but it's a really good way to look at things in the past and not make decisions for other people on how they're supposed to be happy.
Yeah,
within reason.
Yeah, for sure. That's really good. I think that is a good encompassing thought about Coco. So, all right, man. Any other Coco thoughts before we get into the Pixar realm as a whole to kind of get some more thoughts from you?
Well, let me get some from you. Everything I say, pretty much. What's your favorite song?
My favorite song is, I feel like it's a cop out to say "Remember Me," but I feel like that's it.
There's also four versions.
What something that I said to Josh, and maybe even Josh said it, I can't remember. One of us said something to the effect of the fact that that song can be a love song when sung by De La Cruz. It can be a lullaby that is sung to Coco, and then just kind of a family anthem that's sung at the end by Miguel is just a really cool thing that these lyrics sung in different ways and not really even that much differently can kind of mean so much. And so I just think that's really cool.
Yeah, I remember you guys talking, you're like, it won an award, but you didn't know which version. Yeah, it's probably right. Like all encompassing, like, it's the same song, just different. Right. And who's you said Dante's was your favorite character?
We always do side characters, and so we kind of struggle with who is a side character, who's not a side character. We break those rules at times as well. Ooh. But
another point, there's an Alabrije when they first come over the bridge, and it has Rex's head from Toy Story on it. And I don't know if it's intentional or if it's even really him, but it's like same Rex.
It kind of looks similar. Yeah, I didn't notice that. Wow.
Yeah. And if you, I mean, you always do the research on the Easter eggs, so you're probably more on top of it than I am. But I like have started looking for him while I listen to you guys.
Right.
So.
Interesting. So yeah, if I had to pick a favorite character, just like generally, it's probably Hector. Just seeing his struggle with,
dude, his story is heartbreaking.
It's awful, isn't it? it's intense. It's definitely deep. And so just kind of seeing his struggle of making one bad decision and that costing him literally everything, and it almost costing him literally everything.
Yeah.
And how he's had to live with that guilt for years, and he's had to die with that guilt, and he's had to be dead with that guilt.
So obviously when he never came back, bad decision. No cell phone, no FaceTime. But how bad of a decision was it? Because like at the end of Remember Me, it's like until you're in my arms again. He's planning on coming back. He's just right. on tour for a month and a half.
I wonder if it was a bad leaving. Like you're in a relationship. You can have bad leavings and just kind of be upset with each other. But with cell phones, like you said, you can text and be like, "Hey man, I was really sorry. I was kind of punk when I was leaving," and you can apologize for that. But without that, and then him never coming home, and that being kind of the lasting thought, maybe that's kind of what happened. And so that's what led it to that. Had he actually made it home, I think they could have.
I was kind of thinking about that today. I was like, man, he was trying to go back. I mean, he left on good terms with Coco, but Coco was probably like 3.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I feel bad for Hector. Hector got the worst out of everybody, I bet.
Yeah, and just like the intensity of like she's the only one that remembers him.
Yeah.
And once she dies and comes to the land of the dead, he passes on to never being remembered, and just like, oh my gosh, dude, that is And so, yeah, I would say Hector on that if I didn't include.
Did it break you down a little more this time watching
it? I literally am a mess when I watch this movie. I didn't tell this, and I meant to, but the first time me and Carly went and watched it, I think we said we came home to Kentucky for Thanksgiving. And then that Friday we came back home and we went to the theater in Spartanburg to watch it. And I like you said, there wasn't a lot pulling me there other than the fact that it was a Pixar movie. And so I was excited about it. And then just the emotion like slaps you in the face, man. And like, I had just, I think if I'm remembering my years right, I think only a year prior I had lost my grandpa. Mm-hmm. And so when that scene of just the grandma, like the family-ness of that just destroyed me. And so
you're already on the road.
And so like man, and just near the end, I was literally bent over in Carly's lap, like just sobbing in the movie theater. There are people everywhere around us too, and like I am just like bawling my eyes out, like almost hyperventilating. You know how sometimes when you cry, you just like like I was doing that in the movie theater. It was so intense.
You gotta sneak out like during the credits when the lights are still off so you can save some face.
And honestly, every time I watch it, it's that. I told Carly, my grandma's getting a little bit older, not able to walk around as much, and I feel like if when she passes, she's a Christian, so I have peace about it, but I don't know how long it will be before I can watch this movie, just because of just everything. It's so intense.
Yeah, it is.
Especially the grandparent, like family portion of it as well.
And I think a part of that is like, it's human emotion that is being portrayed. And like, I guess the end of Toy Story 3, the reason that gets so like visceral, like emotion is because it's like, yo, my brother's name's Andy. Like my mom. It's something you grew up with, but it wasn't just the interaction of the toys. It was like Andy going off to college.
All right. That's true. That's so good. All right, man. Any other Coco things before we move on to Pixar in general?
Okay. I guess it'll segue us in.
Okay.
Coco and Ratatouille have some eerily similar details, where it's like Remy is a rat that isn't supposed to cook and he isn't supposed to interact with people, you know. Same thing for Miguel, not supposed to play music. And then the break is like Linguini is the son of Gusto, so he's like the same lineage. Same thing with Miguel, he thinks he's the lineage of, and it's just like, I mean, Coco's just executed so much better because, like, Linguini, the girl, is just, like, kind of a weird, the mean shit. Gordon Ramsay in France is, like, a little annoying. But it's, like, there's something there. I mean, I'm sure there's something on the internet, on the interwebs, where you can Google it and figure it out. There's someone who who wrote a Reddit page about it, but I mean, it's there if you look for it. I was thinking about it when I watched, because I kept pace a little bit before I got really busy with work, where I was watching the movies and I would listen to y'all's podcast. And I think that's why Josh got on my nerves a little bit, because I had watched him and felt so strongly, especially Wally. I mean, come on. How could you hate Wally? What was I saying? But yeah, there's something there.
Interesting. All right, man. So we got a whole bunch of your thoughts about Coco. I know that's a movie you love and you care about a lot. Are there any other Pixar movies that kind of jump out at you as really important, really impactful in your life?
Is Monsters University the only prequel of the Disney movies?
Yes.
So I think Pixar. That one's really unique, and I think it's really good. I really like that movie. It's like an underdog story where it's like Mike dealing with and like coming to terms with the fact that he'll always be an underdog. I think that one's really, really powerful.
For sure.
I have only seen Cars 3. I should have rewatched it before I listened to you guys talk about it, but I remember really liking it. I'd like to watch that one again.
Yeah.
Other movies, Toy Story 3, obviously. I talked about that earlier. That one's probably number two for me. It's Toy Story 3. Inside Out probably is lower than it should be. I don't know why that one doesn't get me. I guess that's disagreeable as much as being mean to Wally is. I got to give Josh a pass again. There's something else I was going to tee off on him about. Now I'm forgetting it. But let's not turn this segment into me roasting Josh. I haven't even met him. I need to meet him. I have to save his face. But no, I'm trying to think. A lot of them I just saw on planes, like The Good Dinosaur, Brave. I just like watched them once, and
interesting.
I've never really seen them since. Which ones am I missing? Watched Dory.
Crazy
about Dory.
Bug's Life. Any opinions on that? That's kind of early on.
I'm really young at that point, right? I'm two.
Yeah.
Up. 99. Oh, Up. How could I forget about Up? Yeah. Yeah, I would say, I think that might, that's the problem with Dante, is like Doug is executed so well. And it's like, if we're going for Disney dogs, like Doug is just such a runaway with first place that it's like, oh, I mean, you had a dog, but it sure wasn't Doug.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, Up is probably number three then.
Okay, interesting.
And Ratatouille and Wall-E are higher than you guys have them. I really like both of those movies.
It's kind of funny that Josh doesn't really like Wall-E, and I kind of don't like Ratatouille. And so that's like, but the other one does. I really do like Wall-E, and he really did kind of like Ratatouille. And so it's kind of funny that those that kind of is reflected in our scores and stuff. And so what about Incredibles? How are you on the Incredibles?
So I'm not as hard on Mr. Incredible as you are, but one thing that is really weird is there was like some tension between him and like Syndrome's assistant that I remember watching when I was little. I was like, man, that's kind of weird. And now that I think about it, like, that was kind of strange. Yeah. And then Incredibles 2, not to ruin you guys' next song.
But spoiler alert, but I'm not really looking forward to watching that movie.
That thing was, and especially because they set up a sequel at the end of that movie. So you're sitting on the edge of your seat for so long, and it's just like, I wish I had three hands so I could give it three thumbs down. I mean, it is just bad. It is really, really bad.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, and I mean, anytime they go back on a character and like try and like rewrite things that are contrary to how they were, that's why the Toy Stories are so good. It's because this character stay really consistent.
Yeah, same, they build on it.
Yeah, Cars does a really good job with that, even though you don't get that much in Cars 2. But Cars 3 is just like a continuation of like what they did. And that's my problem with The Incredibles 2. Man, that's a drag. That movie is such a drag.
Have you watched the two most recent Pixar? Three most Pixar. Onward, Soul, and Luca.
I'm two for three. I saw Onward on the plane. So I go back to Atlanta once a month. So I usually watch them. And I was, I think I texted you about it. Not a huge fan of Onward. Just never felt all that engulfed in the story. Soul, I think, was great.
Yeah.
I think Soul was so good in it.
I haven't rewatched Soul since the first time I watched it. So I'm excited when we get to that one to rewatch it because that's not one I've revisited.
Yeah, I think it was way good. You could tell Inside Out kind of had a hand in it. The animation was really good. You kind of get some Coco vibes with the family thing. Yeah, Soul was really good. Luca's about like a merman or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You should watch it. It's worth one watch. It's certainly not my favorite Pixar movie, but it's fairly good.
Went backwards a little bit on animation.
It feels at times a little Wallace and Gromit-y.
Yeah.
Gromit-y, I guess is how I needed to say that. But
compared to Soul, you kind of have like,
yeah.
Well, it's like Coco, Soul, like they're doing a really good job on people. And then it seems like it's like, I guess it looks like
they went for a style and it wasn't.
It looks like a little more, really, usually that. Animation is elegant. It makes you feel like you're watching a movie, not like a kids movie. And I guess what I saw of it, I thought it was just a Disney movie. I didn't even realize that was a Pixar movie, to be honest.
Yeah, it's been kind of weird. A weird season for Pixar, just because they tried to have Onward release in theaters. I think it maybe had like a week in theaters before COVID, obviously.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, like, you talk about how much their budget was and how much they grossed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested if, like, with Disney Plus, how much those statistics will be skewed.
Right.
Be interesting.
Looking forward, we know of two projects that are out there that are coming. We know that there's one called Turning Red. I don't know if you've seen anything about it. It's about a girl that, I don't know if it's when she gets stressed or whatever, she basically turns into this giant red panda. That is interesting. And then have you seen, it actually just came out this last week. I meant to talk to it about, talk to it with Josh, but the Lightyear trailer, did you see that?
Yeah, I saw some stuff on Twitter.
They
don't like that he took out their his
That is going, that looks like it's going to be very interesting. I didn't That'd know be, what it was going to be. Right? Well, see what I read, which this intrigues me more than just about any kind of concept. General Attraction will be a 10 for this one going in, no matter what, at this point, because I've heard that Lightyear is essentially a movie that Andy would have watched inside the Toy Story universe. And so this movie is what started the Buzz Lightyear craze in the Toy Story universe.
That works. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Which is very interesting.
Yeah, so prequel of sorts.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't really have to do anything with Buzz Lightyear, the character. We're not getting like Buzz in the background, but we're getting the character that Buzz is based off of in the Toy Story universe.
One of the million mass-produced toys of Buzz. Toy Story. Yeah.
Something like that. So, yeah. I think that was any random thoughts that we didn't get out. I think we talked about most of the Pixar movies anyway.
Yeah. Oh, the car's eyes, I'm with Josh on it.
You don't see it? You don't see it?
No, it just does not. I mean, Owen Wilson's voice bothers me more than the eyes of the cars, for sure.
Interesting. Is it just you don't like Owen Wilson, or you know him from other things, and so it kind of takes you out of
it? Yeah, it takes you out of it. I don't know if you guys said Ellen does it with you for Dory.
Ellen 100% does it for me.
Yeah. I think Owen Wilson does it a little bit for me. And then, like, yeah. I mean, as far as voice acting goes, Toy Story's the number one.
Sure.
And then you have your trickle down. But, I mean, I think Owen Wilson pulls me out of it. And way less so than Larry the Cable Guy, which is pretty impressive.
That is actually kind of impressive. Oh, man. All right, man. That was a really cool conversation. I'm glad we were able to talk tonight about Pixar. This has been one of the coolest journeys since the beginning of the year. I think we started mid-January with Toy Story. And just to see how Josh and I have kind of grown closer, but also these opportunities that I've had to talk to people about Pixar, talk to some of my best friends about these movies and these characters that I love, and how honestly, in some real ways, these characters, these movies have brought me closer to the people that I've been talking to. And that's just a really cool way to look at it. And so through Lamp Stomp, I've been able to talk to tons of different people about these movies that I love. And so it's been a really cool journey. And so I'm glad that you kind of got to be in the pantheon of Lamp Stomp guest host, I guess I'll say. So I'm glad you were here today.
Yeah. I jumped on Coco pretty early. I mean, that's
you did. You claimed that one.
If I'm going to talk about anyone, I don't feel nearly strong enough about any of them except this movie. So
it's been good, man. All right. Well, if that's it, this has been Lamp Stomp from Dane and Zach. Peace.